Hello, welcome to the Monday, May 11th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from San Diego, California. Resellers of fake Cisco equipment are apparently still an issue. If you remember, this was sort of a big FBI revelation a few years back when some resellers were found out to sell millions of dollars worth of fake Cisco equipment to customers, which in some cases, due to inferior components, did lead to data center fires. Now, in this latest investigation into counterfeit Cisco equipment, the arrests were actually made in the UK after these individuals were found to export counterfeit equipment to the US. About 40 shipments were intercepted starting between December 2012 and April this year. To the end user, this equipment is often indistinguishable from actual Cisco equipment, so it can be really difficult to figure out if you do have real or counterfeit equipment in your data center. Talking about equipment in your data center, turns out that solid-state drives are holding data for a lot less if they're not stored at an ideal temperature of 77 degrees Fahrenheit or 25 degrees Celsius. A standard consumer SSD is expected to retain its data for about 2 years under these ideal conditions. An enterprise-grade SSD, however, will retain data for only about 4 months. So what can happen is if you store these SSD at elevated temperatures, this storage retention time is cut in half for every 5 degrees Fahrenheit or 2.5 degrees Celsius. So for example, at average Florida temperatures of 85 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit, you probably only have a few weeks on your enterprise SSDs before you can no longer read the data. This could, for example, affect laptops and such that are being kept in non-air conditioned rooms, or for example, in wiring closets that sometimes run at a little bit higher temperatures than the rest of your building. And this Tuesday, of course, we're expecting a Microsoft patch Tuesday, but Adobe already gave us a little preview about what to expect from Adobe. Turns out that we should see an update for Adobe Reader and Adobe Acrobat. So no word, of course, what to expect from Microsoft on Tuesday. And Panda, as well as BullGuard and Havaris, do suffer from an authentication bypass vulnerability that could be used by malicious software to disable this antivirus software. Turns out that in order to disable these programs, you do need to enter an administrator password. However, the process that actually checks whether or not you entered the correct password does run under a normal user's privileges. So any user can essentially just intercept the process, run it essentially in a debugger or whatever tool you would like to use, and then manipulate the password comparison to make it always pass. BullGuard has released an update for its software. Panda at this point has not released an update. And SAP security specialist Onapsis did release a new study claiming that 95% of SAP systems are exposed to vulnerabilities that could lead to a full compromise of the SAP system. Now, given that SAP is typically used to essentially run a business, this is quite concerning. There are over 250,000 SAP customers worldwide. According to Onapsis, one of the big problems is the large number of patches that have been released for SAP, about 30 patches per month, and about 50 of them are high priority according to SAP. In addition, SAP often isn't correctly monitored because it is usually the responsibility of a dedicated SAP team due to the complexity of the application and often doesn't really provide enough visibility to the security team. So if you're running SAP, take a look how far behind you are on patches. According to Onapsis, it takes on average about 18 months to install these patches, and whether or not the security team does have sufficient visibility into your SAP install. And then we got yet a new way to hide malicious documents. In this case, the malicious Word document was hidden directly in a MIME file. In order to better deal with these kind of files, Didier did publish a blog post with a new version of his tool, emldump.py, that will help you analyze this type of document. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. There's a small chance that tomorrow's podcast will not happen due to my travel schedule, but we'll see if I can get it recorded. Thanks and bye.